Rabbi Weber. 10:07 on a Tuesday morning. Yes, it's out of sequence.
Sorry, I'm late.
And the topic is Tzipora and the role of women in Brit Milah. Again, not Sefer Mitzvahs, but a very
well. No, it is. Well, it isn't an issue. Let's say this: the mitzvah we're going to do this week
what
is.
Time's the difference?
It goes till 11. Till 11.
Okay, so the if you want to stick to the idea, the mitzvah is Bris Milah. But it's a particular aspect of the mitzvah of Bris Milah, you'll see. Bris Milah is Reish Tezvah. That's 2:15. Okay? But it's a specific aspect of Bris Milah based on this past week's parsha, which is why I decided to talk about it, because the idea came up. Let's start at the beginning. Can a woman be a mohelet? Can a woman give a bris milah?
Well, the mitzvah is on
so
the boy.
According to this paper, there's a precedent.
No, okay. But if the mitzvah, if the boy has to be male.
Yes or no?
Yes.
No.
If the boy, yes.
Why not? Okay, why no?
Mitzvah Zahav al Adem.
Okay, so you're saying there's a limud, it's only a mitzvah on the father.
What if it's
Mr.
father?
Mr. Weiser?
Tzipor.
Okay, but that's a story we'll come to in a second.
Inspirations.
I would think if there's no father,
it's
the community
shmuck.
Also can't do it. And all the one left is a woman, and she knows it. Okay, like
Bidiyavad. But you have to do it narrowly. I mean, halachically, is there anything unique about Bris Milah? So one thing you'd say is, yes, it's unique to males by definition. Meaning, women could eat matzah, men could eat matzah. Right? Women can sit in a sukkah, men can sit in a sukkah, women can take a lulav. But Bris Milah is something unique to the male anatomy. When we're offline, I could explain. But so you could start just from that proposition, which is just women don't have a role in the mitzvah of Bris Milah.
For argument's sake, in the Muslim world, they have female genital mutilation, which they think is.
I don't know what that means.
They do a similar procedure against the woman's sexual organ.
You can't do a similar procedure.
Well,
you could mutilate someone.
And analogous.
But
okay.
So that's one possibility. The second question we have to ask ourselves with respect to Bris Milah is there's two parts to saying, let's say we said, and I'm not saying this, women don't have the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Okay? Let's say we said such a thing, and I'm not saying it, we'll look at the sources in a second. But if we said it, then there's a follow-up question. See, because with respect to most mitzvahs, you say, okay, women are not mechuyavos to take a lulav. To take a lulav, they get a kiyum. There was some mitzvah done. Okay? But it's an act. Right? Women are not mechuyavos to listen to a shofar, to blow shofar. If they did it, that's an act. They ate okay. But here, the question is, if a woman's not mechuyavos to do a bris milah, and she does a bris milah, was a bris milah done? Meaning, the child no longer has an orla. Well, it's an easy case. Okay? You're in the hospital, the doctor comes in and he says to you, listen, I know that you're Jewish, I want to let you know, free of charge, I circumcised your son this morning. Now, you know, Chris McAllister is the doctor's name. He's not Jewish. Was that a bris milah or not? So I can tell you this. The answer is, your son doesn't have an orla, but the mitzvah of bris milah was not performed on your son.
Which means what, therefore?
Which means the halacha, you know, you need another ceremony. That's called hatafas dam bris. You need something. But the point is, unlike other mitzvahs, bris milah is both an act and a result. And you need both. And so you could say women don't have the mitzvah of bris milah, but if they do it, great, it's a bris milah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why it's a more complicated question. Let's see. We'll sort through the sources and let's see what we see. Along the way, we'll see interesting halachic ideas and interesting philosophic ideas. Okay, so first is past week's parsha. The incredibly difficult psukim, I'll read without understanding. Vahi baderch b'malon, they were on the way, they were in Motel 6. Vayifkisheu Hashem vayivakesh hamito. And God shows up. And God desires to kill him. We don't know who him is. A lot of pronouns. Let's say it's Moshe Rabbeinu. Vatikach Tzipora Tzor. Tzipora. She's the only named party here. She takes, you know, a flint. Vatichroses Orlas Bina Vatagal Raglav. And she cuts off his foreskin. And it reaches raglav, his feet, Moshe's feet, somebody else's feet, who knows? But tomar ki chatan damim atali, and she says, you know, you are a bridegroom, a groom of blood to me. Again, who is it? Moshe, the son, we don't know.
So
Vayiref mimenu, and then God leaves Moshe alone, or whoever it is alone. Azamra chatan damim lamulo. Then she says, you are my groom through the blood of Bris Mila. Yes.
So out of context, you're just being given the task of taking correct. The Jews, and they're going to kill him.
Correct.
What's going on here?
Correct. So I don't want to talk about it. You're right. Of all the questions you could ask, is the main question is, wait, God just gave Moshe a job to go redeem the Jewish people from Egypt, and now he wants to kill him? Okay, I don't know the answer, and that's not what we want to talk about, but I agree with you that it's something that's
he had
very...
to do it first, obviously.
That's very, you know, that's how you get into the world. That's you want to be a leader of the Jewish people? Somebody wants to kill you immediately. In this case, it's God. Wow, it's not a good job. Okay, now, so the Gemara in source number 2, I'll say part of it outside. The Gemara in source number 2 in Avodah Zarah Chav Zayin Amud Aleph has a discussion about Minayin Lamila Ba'ovid Kochavim Shehi Psula. How do we know, the Gemara takes as a given, because it is the Halacha, that if a Gentile does the act of Bris Mila, the act of Bris Mila was not consummated. Okay, whatever happened is your child is not mal. Okay, he doesn't have a foreskin, it's true, but he didn't have a bris mila either. How do we know this? So the Gemara gives 2 sources. They're the psukim from Sefer Bereishis where Avraham got the mitzvah. Look right below that Gemara number 2. It says, Vayomer Elokim al Avraham, Va'ata et briti tishmor. Now you have to keep my covenant. You and your children after you for generations. So the first source in the Gemara says, Va'ata et briti tishmor, God says, you'll keep my covenant. That covenant was only given to the Jewish people. Okay? So Gentiles don't have that covenant. Therefore, Gentiles cannot effect a bris mila. Okay? They do it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't help. So, for example, to contrast that with another
mitzvah.
So the answer is he's not. He does it to say he's not.
It was b'deivet. I'm not talking about chetchila, of course.
Right, but no. The Gemara says even b'deivet, he doesn't a bris. A guy can't do bris mila. It's true. Your child
does it. If it doesn't,
does it? It's not a bris mila.
When you say do, can
it's,
you?
What's
is not
mo. That's right.
When you say do bris mila, do you mean? Can we be clear about?
Bris mila is an act. Okay,
I understand.
But bris mila is also to be a mohel, to be circumcised is a halachic status.
Okay,
a Gentile cannot effect that halachic status.
As what? As the agent or as the recipient? Or in
a Gentile case, as the agent, as the cutter.
Okay, that's exactly what I
thought. Good. So that's the answer. The answer is, again, you have a son. Your son is Jewish.
So the mohel, the rabbi cannot be a priest.
He can't be a non-Jew. Not the rabbi. Non-Jew. The Moel cannot be a non-Jew. Mm-hmm. And if he does it, it's as if it didn't happen. Again,
And similarly, if a Gentile is circumcised, he is the one who's being circumcised.
He's not Jewish by being circumcised.
It's an irrelevant.
Correct.
To
so
the status.
Correct. Support in this case is also not Jewish.
What?
No one's Jewish in this story. Support certainly is not Jewish.
We're talking about our cases. We're talking about a Jewish child.
But it did happen. You can't do it again.
So you can do this thing called Hatafas Dam Bris,
yeah.
Which is you draw a little blood.
Right.
It's some kind of, you know, the Gemara has, urologists tell me that it's impossible. Yeah. The Gemara talks about people who are born without a foreskin.
Or any forethought.
No, without a foreskin. And so they have to do Hatafas Dam Bris. Okay, so this Gemara says that a Gentile who is a Moel, whatever happened, it's not a bris mila. Again, contrast that. It's not true that that's not true about other result-oriented mitzvahs. For example, if a Gentile hangs up the mezuzah on your house has a mezuzah. You know, maybe you lost out. You would have liked to hang it. If a Gentile, this happens all the time, at least in Chutz La'aretz, if a Gentile builds the fence around your porch that people can fall off, you got a mitzvah d'oraisa. You paid the Italian guy to build it. It's not the act that matters. It's the result that matters. But here, what's unique about bris milah is it's both the act and the result. Okay? So, the Gemara says one source that prohibits, that rules out Gentiles from doing the mitzvah of bris milah is v'atat briti tishmar. The other is, if you look at the last pasuk at the bottom of number 2, God says to Avram, himol yimol, it's a double verb, himol yimol yelid beitcha. You know, he should certainly be circumcised. The Gemara says, read it, hamol yimol. A person who has a bris milah, he gives a bris milah. A person who doesn't have a bris milah can't give a bris milah. Those are the two sources. Asks the Gemara, what's the difference between the two sources? And the Gemara says the difference is a Gentile who has a bris milah. According to one source, no matter what, Gentiles can never ever give a bris milah because they're not included in the covenant. But according to the other source that says only someone who has a bris milah can give a bris milah, Gentile who's circumcised, we'll come to it in a second, a Gentile who's circumcised can give a bris milah. And it's not just theoretical, because the Rambam says the B'nai Keturah. Keturah was Avraham's second wife, or third if you count Hagar, or second if you think she was Hagar. But Avraham had children with her, 5, 7, I forget how many, after he gave a bris milah to Yitzchak and after he had a bris. The Rambam says all of them were circumcised and they continued to circumcise their children. I think the Rambam knew many, many Arabs who were circumcised and who did it as part of a religious process. So in theory, according to that shita, they could give a bris milah. La halacha we paskin, Gentiles cannot give a bris milah. Okay, now the question is, the Gemara then goes on to ask the following question. What about women? Okay, we've ruled out Gentiles. What about women? So the Gemara says as follows. According to the Manda Amar, who says the prohibition for Gentiles is from the Pasuk of Va'ata et Briti Tishmor, you have to keep my covenant of Bris Milah, women are not part of that covenant. They can't get a bris milah, they weren't commanded a bris milah, they're not part of that covenant, so they can't do it. In which case, if they did it, it wouldn't count. The other shita says no. If you say the source is from the words himol yimol, now this is fascinating, and it's counterintuitive. Only a person who got a bris milah can give a bris milah, then women are allowed to. Why? Because women, it's as if they were already mahul. Women do not have foreskins. They're not arelim. And therefore, the Gemara says, when you look at a woman, you don't see somebody who's excluded from bris milah. Think of it as somebody who had a bris milah.
Well, bris
You're saying, in benching, women also say, va'al britcha shechatamta bivsareinu. A line of benching, which means, you know, the covenant that you anyway, that's the machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokes about whether women can give a bris milah, and it depends. Again, so the first fascinating thing you see as a halachic concept is, if you had asked me, I would have said women have nothing to do with bris milah, as opposed to saying no, women, it's as if they had a bris milah. Right, it's like saying, because I'm not wearing a four-cornered garment, so I'm not being mevatel the mitzvah of tzitzis now. It's like I'm being mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's a strange thing to say.
Are we talking about anatomy here?
Of course not. Well, the Gemara knew women's anatomy. Yes.
Okay.
I think that, you know, Tanaim had children.
But if the concept of bris is to perfect the human body, are they saying that a woman is a priori born into a physical state of perfection?
So again, there's a lot to discuss philosophically about it. I'm not discounting your conclusion. I don't know. What I know is it pays to stop and focus on this idea that the Gemara says that women, it's as if they had a bris milah. Okay, it's a fascinating idea philosophically, but I think it's fascinating halachically. Because it sounds like, you know, if I was homeless, God forbid, then I wouldn't have a mezuzah. I wouldn't be chayv in the mitzvah of mezuzah. But I wouldn't thought to myself, it's like I did the mitzvah of mezuzah. I would think, I'm not part of it. Women don't have arlas, so they're not part of bris milah. The Gemara says, no. I would have thought, you know, again, if I don't have a porch that needs a fence around it, so I'm not chayiv in the mitzvah of makkah. Not that I did the mitzvah of makkah. Yes.
For instance, the father cannot come to the he's far away.
He's far away.
Whatever.
Yes. Okay. He's in jail. The regular example.
Is shliach a shalodom or shalodom?
Come on, sir.
He cannot make a goy a shliach.
Correct. Correct. He cannot make a goy a shliach. That's correct.
So in other words,
you can never make a goy a shliach for anything.
Can make his wife a shliach.
We're getting there. We got to get there. So that's a fair question. Okay, that's what I want to talk about. Yeah. What about the mother? Okay, now there's one other gemara. To be clear, so this gemara that we just discussed talks about whether you could effect a bris milah. Not that you have the mitzvah. The question is, if a guy does a bris milah, did it work? The answer is no. If a woman does a bris milah, does it work? That's a machlokes. As you'll see, we paskin, yes, it does. Okay? But the second question is, does the woman have the mitzvah? Does she have the command? Not can she do it, but does she have the command to do it? Is she obligated mitzvah bris milah?
On her son, presumably.
Of course.
Well, no, you cannot find any baby.
If there's nobody else.
And wonder if there's no one around.
Okay, so let's read the Gemara. Now we'll read inside, and then we'll talk. This is number 3. Famous Gemara in Kiddushin, Chav Tes Amad Aleph. There, the Gemara lists what's called Mitzvahs HaBein Al Ha'av, the series of responsibilities that a father has to his son. Okay? So, the Gemara, one of those is to give his son a bris milah. The Gemara asks, Lamolo, Minalan, how do we know that the father has a mitzvah to give his son a bris milah? I mean, what's the alternative? The alternative is presumably the kid grows up and he's responsible for his own self. So says the Gemara, Dichsiv, Vayamal Avraham et Yitzchak Bino. No, because it says Avraham gave Yitzchak a bris milah. From here we learn this is a mitzvah on the father to give a bris milah. That's stage 1. Stage 2. Veheicha delo mahale avuha. And when the father doesn't give the bris milah, mechayev beidina lemimhale, the responsibility transfers to Bezdin. Dichsiv himo lachem kol zachar, namely, we are responsible to make sure that Jewish male children get a bris milah. Now here, I'm going to say something I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that when it says Bezdin here, it doesn't mean Bezdin narrowly. It doesn't mean the Sanhedrin. I think it means whatever the leadership organ is of the Jewish people. You know, if you live in Lodi, New Jersey, the JCC of New Jersey has some responsibility to make sure that your son has bris milah. You know, the shul has some responsibility. I don't think it means,
right,
you know, just the Bezdin. I think it means the representative of the Jewish community needs to make sure that Jewish babies, if the father doesn't do it, they need to step in and make sure that Jewish babies have a bris milah. And I'll add to that that I can't think of another example like this in halacha, where the halacha says, okay, the mitzvah is on the father. Okay, I have a mitzvah to take a lulav on the first day of Sukkot. If I don't do it, Bezdin has to do it for me. No. We do have this idea that Bezdin should force people to keep mitzvahs. But here, Bezdin is not forcing the father to do it. The Bezdin is being told, if he doesn't do it, you do it.
Paying off debts.
Isn't it similarly worded?
I don't think so.
What about mechanching?
No,
he's got.
Okay. Ah, well, get. But see, that's different.
Father's in jail. The kid has to.
One second, that's different. So, first of all, I'm not saying that there aren't good deeds. It's clear that the community needs to take some. This is a halachic responsibility. I don't believe there's a halacha that says that the father doesn't teach his son, Bezdin has to. It's understood that, you know, that we'll do these things. There's a mitzvah involved, but this seems unique. But now it gets even more. Just to be clear on the rules. So, stage 1, mitzvah on the father. Stage 2, the father doesn't do it, mitzvah on the Bezdin, you know, narrowly defined or more broadly defined. Now, stage 3, let's just finish. Veheicha delo mahale beidina. Father doesn't do it, Bezdin doesn't do it. Mechayiv ihu lemimhal nafshe. The baby himself, when he turns bar mitzvah, obviously, the responsibility now transfers to him. Mechayiv ihu lemimhal nafshe dichsiv. Ve'arel zachar asher lo yimoles b'sar or lasov v'nichrusa. An arel zachar an uncircumcised male mm-hmm. gets kares.
Okay. Well, why don't we jump to the Bezdin? There's an uncle, there may be a grandfather.
I'm happy to discuss it. First, let's just get down the basics. I think you're right. That's what the point I'm trying to make. Again, stage one, father. Stage two, Bezdin. Stage three, the boy himself. Now, to be clear, in terms of punishments, everybody knows that the punishment for not having a bris milah is
kares.
There's only two mitzvot aseh in the Torah. Only two. The punishment for which is kares. One is bris milah. The other is
korban
pesach.
Both with blood.
Excellent. Okay? Those are the only two. Now, to be clear, the punishment of kares is only imposed on the boy himself when he goes past bar mitzvah. The father who doesn't give a bris milah, he's mevatel mitzvah saseh, he doesn't get kares. Bezdin doesn't give bris milah, uh-huh. They don't get kares. Only the child himself gets kares.
I thought that's if he dies without a milah.
So that's a different machlokes. So machlokes, when does he get kares? So one person says he gets kares every day after his bar mitzvah, and the other sheet says no, he only gets kares when he dies, which is like a funny thing to say because you're dead already.
No, but don't you have your whole life to fulfill that mitzvah if your father didn't give it?
Not clear. It's the machlokas harishonim. Because what does it mean to say, okay, the boy says after his bar mitzvah, yes, I don't have a bris milah today?
No, he doesn't know. It looks like he has.
That's b'shogeg. You don't get kares for a shogeg. Right. Saying at his bar mitzvah, everybody says to him, guys in the gym go, you know, hey. And he knows everything, and he goes, I got time. So according to one sheet, every day is mevatel a mitzvah saseh, and his punishment is kares. According to the other sheet, it says, he does have time. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he'll do it before he dies. But, you know, it's not the recommended path. Now, so your point about the uncle, I think is covered by the Bezdin. I think in that case, the grandfather, the uncle, the cousins, they're what referred to as Bezdin. I mean, communal responsibility. Not in the narrow halachic sense, but in the broader halachic sense, that it's clear that we have an obligation to make sure that Jewish male children have a bris milah. So if they're not going to do it, you step in. You know. Now, what about the women? So, end of the Gemara. Last full line. Says the Gemara in the middle of the last full line, Ihi minalan delo mechaiva. How do we know that she, the mother, doesn't have the mitzvah? Dichsiv ka'asher tziva oso Elokim, oso velo osa. Okay? Him and not her. It's a strange limud, because Avram did it. He's a him. Like, it would be hard to describe him any other way. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara learns from here that the mitzvah is on the man and not the woman. On the father and not the mother. Now again, you could argue that the mother falls into the second category. Right? If the father doesn't do it, so the mother is as connected to this as the Bezdin or the grandfather or the uncle, so she can be involved. Now, this is not the question of whether she can, if she does it, it's a bris milah. That was the other Gemara, where we concluded that it is. This is just the question of whether the mitzvah is on her. Now, how do we paskin? So you look at the Rambam in number 4. The Rambam says, and it's strange, Hakol k'sherin lamul, everybody can give a bris milah. Va'afilu arel, a person who himself doesn't have a bris milah, we'll see that's not so clear. Ve'eved, ve'isha v'katan, malin. All of these people can give a bris milah. Again, not Gentiles, they can't. But basically any Jew who's otherwise, you know, not mechuyev in this type of mitzvah, can do it. And then the Rambam adds 4 strange words. When can they do this? B'makom she'ein sham ish. When there's no man. When there's no man. So, you know, it's a strange formulation of a mitzvah. I would have said, you know, the mitzvah is on a man. If there's no man, b'di'eved, you could have these people do it. The Rambam doesn't say it that way. The Rambam says, hakol k'sherin. In fact, you didn't read the whole thing. You go, hakol k'sherim lamul, afilu isha. Great. Then he says, b'makom she'ein ish. So long as a man is not there. That's one strange formulation. Now look at the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Okay, we finally got there, Bruce. Number 215. Sefer HaMitzvahs, source 5. V'hamitzvah ha'reish tesvav, hishet sivanu lamulat haben. We are commanded to circumcise the son. V'amru yitalela Avraham, himol lachem kol zachar. Right, that was the commandment to Avraham, you have to circumcise all males. V'kasuv batorah shehu bekares, mi shemevatel mitzvat asezo. And the Torah tells us that if you don't do this, again, it's the son, the punishment is kares. Okay, fine. Now, go to the last full line. Middle of the last full line. Says the Rambam, and just think about the different formulation. Ve'ein ha'isha mitzuva lamulet bina. Stop right there. Fine. The Rambam says the woman is not part of the mitzvah of bris milah, which sounds like it's a little bit in contradiction to what he had said above in the Yadah Chazak, except that's not what he says. He says, Ve'ein ha'isha mitzuva lamulat bina, kimo sheha'av mitzuva bezeh. Her chiyuv is not the same as the husband's chiyuv. But there is a chiyuv. Now, what is that chiyuv? It's really, really hard to tell. The Rambam, again, in two different places, in the Sefer HaMitzvos and in the Yad HaChazaka, has what I consider to be like a bizarre formulation. Again, in the Yad HaChazaka, he said, Hakol Ksherim Lamul, including a woman, B'makom Shnish, so long as there's no man. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam says, the woman doesn't have the mitzvah of Bris Milah like a man. So it's hard to know exactly what it means that she has the mitzvah, but she doesn't have the mitzvah on the same level as a man. Let's do one more source, and then we'll discuss. One second. No, we don't. This isn't Lechatchila and Bidiyavi. You don't find these formulations. Okay? But there must be something to it. Look at the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? How does the Mechaber pass? He says in number 6, Simon Reish Sadi Reish Samach Dalin Hakol Ksherim Lamul, just like the Rambam, right? He obviously took it directly from the Rambam. Hakol Ksherim Lamul Afilu Eved Isha Vikatan. Okay, a slave, a woman, someone who's not yet bar mitzvah. And here he says what I think the Rambam meant but didn't say. Ve'orel Yisrael Shemesu Echav Machmas Mila. It doesn't mean a person who rejected bris milah. It means a person who doesn't have a bris milah for a very technical reason. Mm-hmm. His older brothers had bris milahs and died, meaning they're hemophiliacs. Mm-hmm. So a hemophiliac, he doesn't have the mitzvah of bris milah. He doesn't get kares for not doing bris milah, but he has an arla. He is an arel. It's a strange situation to be in. It's a tough question because he's not in violation of any Torah rules, but he has an RL. Right. You know, it's hard.
A grown convert.
Yes.
Does he have a real bris milah, or is it more symbolic?
So, if he's uncircumcised, he has a real bris milah. If he already was circumcised as a Gentile, then he has what's called hatafas dam bris, like a ceremonial
circumcision. But if he's coming in without any connection, he's got to go through the whole process.
Yeah, of course.
It's several shots of whiskey versus wine.
That's the end of the process. I've never been to the bris milah of a convert, but if I did, I'd like to be the sandik. You know, I think it'd be fun. 250-pound man, you know, like don't flinch. Must be hard.
You get to bury the orlas.
I just want to say, I don't. That's the kibbutz I really want. If anybody wants to know, I don't want to be Masada Kedushin. I want to be the sandik at a big guy's bris.
I don't know the exact circumstances of it, but a guy told me he had to go for an adult circumcision for one reason, and it wasn't the son, and he was holding. And like this whole process, like a couple people need to do it, so people help out with various positions, and the moil is the one who faints.
Okay, I think you know, if you're afraid of blood, you shouldn't be a moil, is my take. Now, okay, so what do we have? Here too, we have this idea, Hakol Ksherim Lamul. Here he says it's very clear. Everybody could do a bris milah. But then, second line, he says, V'im Yesh Yisrael Gadol Sheyodea Lamul. However, if there's a male grown Jew who knows how to do Bris Milah, who kodem lekulam? He comes first. And then comes along, it's probably the Ramah, it's a little unclear here, it says V'yesh Omrim, some say D'isha lo tamol, a woman shouldn't do it at all. Mm-hmm. And then it says V'chein no hagin lahader achar ish. So I understand, if a woman shouldn't do it at all, what does it mean? It's a chumrah, it's a hitter to go find a man? She's not supposed to do it at all. She's not supposed to do it. She can't do it at all. Right? Nobody would say a guy can't do it, but if there's no Jew, let the guy do it. If the guy does it, it's nothing.
Maybe it's inappropriate as opposed to a sore.
Okay, so again,
my wife has done circumcision. She's a doctor and she's had to do it in hospital settings.
Okay.
So
for religious purposes or just?
It may have been the case one was a Muslim young.
Okay, well, I don't know the halacha for Muslims, although I'm sure that your wife should be stoned.
No,
that's always the halacha.
She was stoned when she did it.
I know, that's always the halacha, yeah.
So, no, in the sense that they may have requested, they may not require a moel to do it, they may just require the end result.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could have a man who's never done it and may faint, or you can have a woman who has some experience at it.
The question here would be a guy who has never done it but is very cocky. Excuse me.
You've lost the right to talk now.
And a woman who says she's a doctor, she's an expert, she could do
again,
it. So now you have
what we want to figure out is this. I think this halacha is unlike any other halacha that I've seen. Again, I haven't seen them all. Where you have, on the one hand, women can do it, right? This isn't like Kavod HaTzibur. These aren't like discussions of what's better. This is a discussion that says the Gemara thinks women don't have the mitzvah, maybe women shouldn't be able to do it. The halacha is clearly that women can do it. They don't have the mitzvah to do it, but they can do it. But they shouldn't. You know, but it's much better for men to do it. And I don't believe that this was written in a way to disrespect women. My daughter, when I talked about this at home, my daughter said she just learned something in school. I didn't Ashkenaz when husbands traveled a lot. Women did bris milos all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, it's, I think that there's two things going on here. One is bris milo really matters. You know, you only get one shot at it. Right? Oh. It's not shofar, it's not lulav. It really matters. And I think that the Gemara really, you know, the halacha really struggles with this idea. Is it really the case that women, right, women are part of bris milah because it's as if they had a bris milah? It's just, it's such a far-fetched svara. I think all of us would have said here, women just don't have a part in the mitzvah of bris milah because anatomically and, you know, for all the regular reasons, they just don't have a part. I think it was a huge chiddush for the Gemara to say, no, women do have a part. This is not a discussion about like Kedushas Yisrael or women less holy than men. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, you know, can somebody who's not part of the mitzvah do the mitzvah? And I think, you know, it's like, can a Kohen, okay, Bruce couldn't make it to Shul today, but he felt bad. I'm not saying he could, but in theory. He felt bad that he was missing Duchenne. So he called me up and he appointed me his Shliach to go Duchenne. Something, by the way, second behind being the sandik for a large man is me duchening. Okay, that's the second thing I like to do. So Bruce tells me to go duchen. I can't. He can't do it, and I can't do it because I'm not a kohen. I'm not part of that mitzvah. So I think that the halacha is really struggling with this idea that on the one hand, women are not part of the mitzvah. On the other hand, I'm ignoring you. On the other hand. So on the other hand, they can perform it. They're part of the Bezdin, whatever. They're part of the responsibility that all Jews have to make sure that boys have a bris milah.
Because the mitzvah is on the baby. That's the whole point. The mitzvah is on the boy, and therefore everyone else is a facilitator.
Maybe.
And Bidiavad, she does it if no one else.
But
can
they
do
don't
it.
Use words like Bidiavad. I understand that you're using that word, but you don't.
Because she's not the first choice.
But that's not normally. You know, the first choice for Chazan is somebody who's a Talmud Chacham and has children and has a beard and a beautiful voice. So the people call the other guy the Bidi Eved choice? No, we don't talk that way. You know, it's these things you would love to have, and it's a great. We don't normally think that way, and I don't think b'di'evad is the right way to say it. Mm-hmm. But it's clear. It's just a perfect example of where the halacha was really struggling to say like it works, but we're just not sure. And I think there's more at stake here.
They don't take away the bracha from her, right? She says a bracha.
I assume they do, but the bracha doesn't matter.
Well, if you're out of the mitzvah and you're performing the action,
no, because
if you were duchen, you wouldn't make a bracha.
If I duchen, it would be a bracha
l'batal. If you could go up and duchen and not make a bracha.
No, I can't. But I can't. Again, if I duchened without making a bracha, it wouldn't be a bracha l'batala. It would just be a violation of Amar Lahem and the sanctity of Kohanim. It would be bad.
Those are
but
broader. Okay.
All right. But you're focused on bracha l'batala.
It's not like she's excluded. Nobody excluded her from the mitzvah.
If you found out later that your mother says, you know, your father really wasn't a Kohen, and you're a lady.
Yeah.
So what had you been really doing all these years? Was it as if it was nothing? Or
yeah.
are you blessing the congregation?
No, so it was. I think you said a pasuk to the Jewish people. You were not, you know, fulfilling a commandment that God asked you to play the special role. You just didn't do it. Okay,
fact,
you made a mistake. It was a shogeg.
And so they got no bracha because it's not from you. You're just a facilitator.
Correct.
Jewish name.
Correct. They did not get berachas kohanim. Hopefully there were other kohanim there. You made hundreds of brachos levatala b'shogeg. It's a very bad thing, but it wasn't your fault. Now, there is an issue that we haven't dealt with yet. And that is, why is there, and it's a very, very famous Minchas Chinuch who asked this question, but it's an interesting question. He asks, why is there even a discussion in the Gemara about whether women have a mitzvah, have the mitzvah of Bris Milah or not? Why don't we say the usual rule, which is, women are peturos from what?
Mitzvah
saseh shezman grama. Time bound positive commandments. Because bris milah is a time bound positive commandment.
Well,
you could only do it till the eighth, you know, you can't do it before the eighth day. You can't do it at night. That's a classic mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Why does the Gemara even need a limud to ask me that question? Okay? This is a very famous question, and it has fascinating answers. That just they're interesting in a lot of directions. The first answer is that Bris Milah is not. You could read it all in seven in the Minchas Chinuch. I'm not going to read it inside. The first answer is that Bris Milah is not a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Why not?
Because he has his whole life for it.
No, because
he's doing it after 8 days.
No, because after 8 days, if he did it at night, you're not supposed to do it at night. But there's one shita that says, after 8 days, you have to do it the first second, because you're an Oral now.
Oh.
And if he got healthy on day 11, if it's at night, you do it at night. Hmm. We don't paskin that way. But that would change Bris Milah from being a mitzvah she'ein grama to being a mitzvah she'ein hazman grama. And therefore, women would be obligated. That's just an interesting thing to know about Bris Milah. The second is, we mentioned already, that the punishment for not performing a bris milah is kares. Now, it's true. The punishment of kares only applies to the child. It doesn't apply to the mother or the father or anybody else. But nevertheless, the suggestion is that the rule that women are peturos from mitzvot aseh shezman grama only applies to regular mitzvot aseh shezman grama. But a mitzvot aseh shezman grama, the punishment for which in any circumstance can be kares, it bumps up a level, and therefore women are obligated even if it is a time-bound positive commandment. Because it is what you call a mitzvah that's connected to such a severe punishment like kares, women have that, you know, so therefore women would have that that obligation. That's answer number two. Answer number three is along the same lines. The goal of answer number three is to make the mitzvah of Milah be an exception to the general rule that women are exempt from time-bound positive commandments. And the suggestion is as follows, that they are peturos from time-bound positive commandments that are physical, that are on them in nature. What does that mean, on them in nature? It means that I have to take a lulav. Okay, I have to put on tefillin. I have to sit in a sukkah. I have to eat matzah. But here, the suggestion is, I don't have to do anything. My mitzvah is I am responsible to make sure that my son has a bris milah. I could do that on the internet, maybe. Right? I could hire somebody. I could write a check. It's not the actual cutting that's the mitzvah. This is the chiddush. It's not the actual cutting that's the mitzvah. It's a result-oriented mitzvah completely. And this is an idea that I won't read it inside, but this is an idea in source number 8. The Maharaj Arzura says this definitively. He says, bris milah is a result-oriented mitzvah, full stop. Your mitzvah is not to take a knife. Your mitzvah is to make sure that somebody takes a knife and cuts off your son's foreskin. That's your mitzvah. Now, it makes it just like mezuzah, it makes it just like makeh, and it just makes it just like any other result-oriented mitzvah. Then the obvious question is, well, if it's a result-oriented mitzvah, why can't an Italian guy do it?
Yeah.
Right? So the answer is, it's a result-oriented mitzvah, sort of. And I really think that this is the conclusion of the halacha. Halachically, philosophically, and otherwise. I'll give you an example that I think works. We hold that the mitzvah of shofar is to hear a shofar, not to blow a shofar. And the bracha that we make is lishmoa kol shofar. It's to hear. Okay? So if I say to you, well, if the mitzvah is to hear the sound of a shofar, can I be yotze if I heard a recording? So you go, no, that doesn't seem like what the Torah wants. Then I say, okay, the world's greatest shofar blower, is, you know, this fat Italian guy who plays trumpet, you know, for Pavarotti. Nobody blows shofar. We'll bring him to shul. You know, there'll be a big sign up. Can he do it? What do you think? The answer is no. But I don't understand. It's a result-oriented mitzvah. The mitzvah is for me to hear a shofar. Why? Who cares who blows it? So the answer is, the mitzvah is for me to hear a shofar that was blown halachically. The process, the end result, the mitzvah is just to hear it. But I have to hear it, the shofar sound that I have to hear has to be a sound that emanates from a kosher shofar and from a person who's mechuyav in the mitzvah. So it is true, it's a result-oriented mitzvah. But there are requirements for the process. Okay? That's different than building a ma'akeh. There's no requirements for the process. The mitzvah of ma'akeh is that a ma'akeh be built, that a guardrail be built. That's it. It doesn't matter how it happens. It just happens that it matters that it happens. So with respect to bris milah, I will suggest the same thing. It's a result-oriented mitzvah. But it matters how it happens. Okay? And how it happens has to be by a Jew, and by a Jew who's chayav in the mitzvah. Okay? So again, we would rather it be done, you know, by a Jew who had a bris milah, who's over bar mitzvah, who's mechuyav b'davar, it's true. But if it can't be done that way, there still are minimal requirements. And we can have it done by a katan, and we can have it done by a woman, and we can have it done by a person who himself doesn't have a bris milah, so long as there's a good excuse for his bris milah. Now again, there's a different approach. There's another approach that says, no, it's the act itself. There's a story, a famous story, it's almost certainly not true, but that when Rav Lichtenstein's oldest son was born, you know, he told the Rav was the grandfather, that, you know, he wants to be makbid for those shitas who say that you can't make a shliach for bris milah. It's really your own mitzvah to do. It's the Reb Chaim who says that, and so he wants to do it himself. And the story goes that the Rav said, you know, it's an interesting Reb Chaim, but not on my grandland.
Huh.
You know, like a little common sense here. Yes.
So if you're an Italian guy married your Jewish mother and he's your stepfather, and he arranges for the bris, he pays, he sets up because he's a nice guy, and he,
right.
You know, does that somehow diminish
because he's responsible? Act, you're right, he's responsible. But I ask myself, what just happened? The answer is, the person who circumcised the child was a mechuyav bedavar, so the result was reached. It's true, the result was arranged for by an Italian guy.
Right.
But that doesn't undermine, it's true, the Italian guy, it's a lovely thing that he did. He didn't get a mitzvah. He can't get a mitzvah for that. Okay? But the result, his involvement certainly doesn't invalidate the result.
And likewise, now, that guy in Poland at the last Gor Chaser, he showed us the cemetery, he's the last Jew there. Okay, he's no longer like a Jew anymore.
Okay.
But he's born a Jew, he's luckily Jewish.
Okay.
If he did a bris, if he was acting in every way like a non-Jew, does he count?
Yes. For the most part, we believe that, like Hotel California,
yeah.
You can check in, but you can never leave.
Right.
That's not actually the line.
No, but check out.
Okay, you think that. You'll think that. Now, one last thought. We mentioned already, I want to point out something very interesting. We mentioned that the two mitzvot, and there's only two, for the punishment, mitzvot aseh, the punishment for which is kares, is bris milah and karban pesach. Now, we think of bris milah, and we think of it correctly, so halachically, as being an individual mitzvah. I have to have a bris milah, I have to make sure my son has a bris milah, everybody at this table, is responsible for themselves. But Rav Breuer, in an article a long time ago, suggested something differently, and it's true historically, even though it's not true halachically. He says there are three cases in the Torah of bris milah, and they're all communal, they're all national. The first bris milah, as we know, was Avram Avinu. God came to him, and he said, "Himo lachem kol zachar lidorotechem," and your whole house. Okay, so Avram gave himself a bris, gave Yitzchak a bris, gave all males in his home a bris. That means Avram Avinu circumcised 100% of the Jews of the world at that time. It looked like an individual act, but he circumcised every single Jew.
They weren't Jewish.
And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the Jewish people. Avraham Avinu didn't just circumcise himself; he circumcised the nation of Jews, whatever that meant.
Did he do his
Matan
father?
Torah,
Did he do his father?
No, his father was dead. I think. Okay, his father. You're definitely dead. Avraham was 90 when he got a bris milah. Okay, now the next time was when we left Mitzrayim. Okay, as it happens, it was in anticipation of Karban Pesach. But when we left Mitzrayim, it seems like. Nice. It's hard to know when we stopped giving bris milahs. I'm not here to tell you that Yaakov Avinu didn't have a bris. I'm not here to tell you that Moshe didn't have a bris. But it's clearly understood that most Jews did not have a bris milah. Mm-hmm. And when they were leaving Egypt, they gave him a bris milah. How do we know that?
Exactly.
Because the next time they had a bris milah, it's a Beferish Apostle. Look in number 9 in Yoshua. They're about to enter the land of Israel. And he says, Ba'etahi Amar Hashem El Yoshua Asei Lecha Charvot Tzurim, make a knife, Vishuv, and again, Molet B'nei Yisrael Shenit, circumcise the Jewish people again. Why? Ki Mulim Hayu Kol Ha'am Hayotzeim, because all those who left Egypt had a bris milah, V'chol Ha'am Hayilodim Bamidbar Baderch B'tzeitamim Yitzrayim Lo Malu, but from the time they left Egypt for the next 40 years, nobody had a bris milah. Now that we're about to go into the land of Israel, now that we're about to reinstitute Karban Pesach, it's time to go in. It's time to have a bris milah. So you see that in the Torah, bris milah was, establishing the nation of Israel before something significant. Before Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're about to have Karban Pesach, we have to have a bris milah. They didn't have a Karban Pesach for 40 years in the Midbar. Now we're about to go into the land of Israel. We're about to have Karban Pesach. We need a bris milah. So, historically, first of all, there's a connection between bris milah and Karban Pesach. That you need one for the other. And in fact, we say at the Seder, in the Haggadah, Va'erech misposeses b'damayich, va'omar lach b'damayich chayi, va'omar lach b'damayich chayi, twice. Why? So the drasha is, Dam Pesach, and Dam Milah, the blood of the Karban Pesach and the blood of circumcision. Those two things are closely connected because those two things make us Jews. The first thing we did to become the Jewish people was have a Bris Milah. The most significant moment in the history of Jewish people leaving Egypt, Bris Milah, Karban Pesach. Next significant moment, we're about to go into the land of Israel. National thing, Bris Milah and Karban Pesach. And I'll say something else on top of that. I think it's not the case that if you don't do bris milah or you don't have a Karban Pesach that you're chay of kares. I think kares isn't the punishment, it's the result. When you choose to not be part of the Jewish people, you're not part of the Jewish people. And everybody knows it. You look at surveys now, you can look this up. The percentage of Jews, of Israelis, not Orthodox Israelis, percentage of Israelis that do mitzvahs, right? Numbers 1 and 2 are Bris Milah, and, okay, we don't have Karpes, but Seder. Well over 90% of Israelis circumcise their sons and have some form of a Seder. Why?
Because intuit,
they understand that if we forget, okay, Shabbos, Kashrus, all these other things, I don't do that. But if I don't do this, I'm not part of the Jewish people. It's just people understand intuitively how significant this is. And again, I think Kares, as a result, is just, it's the result. If I don't circumcise my son, I'm basically saying I don't care to be part of the Jewish people. If I don't have a Seder, I'm saying I don't care to be part of the Jewish people. Those two things are deeply, deeply connected. And, you know, maybe that's why women are part of this. Also, I really think that the idea behind women is if they had a Bris Milah is because we don't want to exclude, because it's such a significant event. So we're saying to be Jewish, like, it's a fancy thing, and maybe it's not even true. To be Jewish, you have to have a Bris Milah. Women don't have a Bris Milah? Yes, they do. Where? How? Don't know.
They're circumcised from birth.
They're circumcised from birth, and therefore, we're all part of Jewish people because we're circumcised, and if you're part of Jewish people, you can bring a Karban Pesach, because Karban Pesach is the Karban that you bring to be Jewish. It makes you part of the Jewish people. Shkach.
Yeah, you really.